Staff was working 184 days in 17-18 through. They've been working 187. That's why those are up there, just to show the example. But that's it. So, but that's the information as it pertains to what we're dealing with from the negotiated agreements and the impacts that the pension is having on us moving forward.
So continuing with the next few elements of the budget that relate to some key contributions. So as you can see here, the special education contribution. So when I shared earlier that the LCFF calculation for revenue is about $396 million, of that state revenue, $62 million is projected to be the contribution. This is certainly an area that we're working on very closely and monitoring. I do believe this is what's probably also going to help the fund balance at the end of the year. I think it's going to come in probably a little bit less. It is an area that I've also relayed to the county office that might be just a little bit high. But last year's contribution was $58 million. So again, as you look at it from a percentage standpoint, those are funds that are coming out of the general fund to this program to meet the student needs and requirements and to comply with the federal law. One other component that relates to the federal law is known as the maintenance of effort. So in totality, with this $62 million plus the money that the district receives from the federal government, which is only about $6 million from IDEA, and then also the state money, which is known as under AB 602, is about $18 million. So in totality, we have to demonstrate under the maintenance of effort that a minimum we spend $87 million on the program. So that is something we also have to keep an eye on to ensure that that number is met as we shift into the next year. But that's a significant amount of the 62. And as you look at the out years, because we are seeing increasing needs in terms of student support, there are additional costs that are increasing there as well. The other factor that there is a change from first interim that I like to highlight relates to the career technical education program. What we shared with the board back in first interim, per the guidance from the county at the time, because there was an agreement that went into effect around 2013-14 with the implementation of the local control funding formula, that the money that comes through, it's a pass-through through the county office of ed, that those monies, as LCFF was being implemented, the county office would continue to give that to districts. That agreement sunsets in June. For Sweetwater, that amount is $554,000. It helps fund the sports medicine program. At first interim, the county office provided us guidance to not include $554,000. They indicated it's going to sunset. Don't factor it in. We're not going to provide any additional funds. Since then, the county superintendent did share with the school district superintendents, and then also we've had communication in our weekly check-ins with the county. They have made a commitment, although we're waiting for the agreement, that they will provide 50% of that amount to Sweetwater, of that 554, in 2021. And then in 21-22, it would be no allocation. So this is a change, so that helps offset our contribution a little bit compared to where we were at first interim. But nonetheless, it still goes away in 21-22. And in totality, that agreement covers about $6 million for all of the county school districts. That, again, is part of a pass-through. And I think, and Dr. Janney has been engaged with the other superintendents. Right. And can
there are actually 18 school districts that get some of this $6 million. Like Dr. Saukald says, ours is about $500,000. And so we got together, these 18 district superintendents, and we wrote a letter to Dr. Gothold in October, requested a meeting, and requested that they continue the pass-through. Otherwise, they're just keeping the money at the county office and not passing it through to the districts. That's when we met with them in November, and the decision came out in January at first that they weren't going to pass anything through. And then they decided next year for one more year, half that amount for every district. So for the 18 districts, it's not a done deal yet. We are continuing to have conversation. We want to still have that conversation with the county office because we believe that it would help all districts. 175,000 students this impacts across the county. And so we are still in conversations. We haven't given up, but we any support that we can get from anyone else would be helpful. But we're trying to get this money to remain being passed through to the districts, these 18 districts, ongoing, because it's going to be coming from the state every year, and we want to keep being passed through to all of these 18 districts. So everyone's working together on this. Just want to make sure that was clear.
The other component
Since she was bringing that up, I just wanted to make sure, is there a grant being worked on or legislation around it? Do you know? No? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not that we've been informed. Yeah.
The other element here to also highlight that ties to the law, because that did change 2 years ago, is the routine restricted maintenance. So with the implementation of LCFF, now 3% of the total expenditures of the district is required to be set aside for routine maintenance. So we do have that factored into this current budget and in the out years. There's actually in the SACS report a criterion standard that highlights this particular item and makes sure that it highlights that it's been met. One thing I highlighted during first interim is when there are different adjustments made, I think with some of the imposed entries, and you'll see here in a little bit with some of us now, we're having to reverse those entries that were imposed. It makes this routine maintenance fluctuate because it's a percentage of the expenditures, but still, again, it's increasing so that we've had to contribute that. And any funds that are not spent by the facilities team at the end of the year must be carried over to the next year, has to be spent. So the next item are our reserves, and as I mentioned earlier, that restoration of the economic uncertainties, so it's about $9.4 million, $10 million in the subsequent year, in order to obtain that positive certification. The other thing that I've received a lot of questions on is the Qualified Zone Academy Bond, which is known as the QZAB. This $5 million, actually, that obligation, the district entered into that in 2005. This is a lot, predates a lot of us. That bond, that obligation, matures on September 2021. So you have to have, we as a district have to show that in our reserves at the end of that fiscal year to demonstrate that it's earmarked for when that payment has to be made. And as I say, the cash payment has to go with that. So it'll take that expenditure with it. I mean, it's another area too, then working with the county, they're looking to make sure that those numbers are factored in. So that is an obligation to an outside party that has to be made. That was initiated back in 2005.
Did you say we had two QZAB?
There is another mm-hmm. QZAB. It's the 2010. It's about $5 million also, but that one's different. We make payments. Again, the terms were very different. This 2005 QZAB had this maturity all at once, whereas the 2010, there are incremental payments due. In your packet, you have a long-term debt schedule. It's about $2.7 million, I believe, that's left outstanding, but we budget that amount into our operating budget. It's about a $400,000 payment annually. Okay. And so as we transition now into looking ahead for the budget work that we're doing, one key item that obviously that centers around our work is LCAP number 4, which is ensuring excellence in operational systems of support. What's highlighted here is we've been having quite a few meetings with our school sites, with our departments. We met with them in the fall. We are actually already in the process of meeting with our departments for the development of next year's budget. So again, that's starting from scratch. We've been looking at projections. Now it's kind of building it from the bottom up. And we are actually kicking off next week our meetings with the schools, looking at their staffing allocations, looking at the different parameters of their budget next week. So we're starting those meetings. We continue to have monthly meetings with our facilities team, our IT, nutrition services, special services, transportation. Given especially the size of their programs, we meet with them periodically. One thing that I also like to highlight, because I know there's been comments about this too, as it relates to operational systems, the district, it's taken a year, but the district is in the process of transitioning an accounting system. We are shifting away from TrueCourse to move forward to N4. I know a lot of the comments is, you know, have been, why can't you turn that around really quick? For those of us who've done implementations, and especially a district this size, I've done them in the private sector and also in K-12, and I know also our IT director has done these. This takes time. So by the time this is complete, David knows I'm trying to be very aggressive with the timeline. I'm thinking 18 months, but more realistically, it's going to take 2 years at a minimum. We're going to engage a lot of stakeholders in this process because, unlike the other modules, finance module touches every operation in this district. So I just wanted to highlight that because that's really going to give us in finance and the district opportunity to create some robust reporting, some more accountability, more review, more oversight by transitioning a very dated system. It's been in place for 20 some years. So I just wanted to highlight that. In moving to the next slide, in terms of those who have been engaged in this process, so over the last few months, we've had cabinet, we've had a planning committee that includes high school and middle school principals. We've had directors, we've had our budget workshops that we held with the board in January. We've had already two meetings with the budget LCAP advisory committee, and then we actually have a third one scheduled tomorrow, and then another one next week. So we've been having those. The LCAP survey, I believe, is in process to those audiences there. And then our continued conversations at the bargaining table with our bargaining partners, and then also with the community with the online forum that our communication departments put on the website. So we continue to take that feedback.